All right. So we told you guys that we were going to try to get Joey on the podcast. Sacco's not here right now. He's off being an adult, you know, doing shit, taking care of children, whatnot, cutting down trees, you know, being a lumberjack.
Mowing lawns.
But Joey is here, the friend that we like to make fun of, but at the same time we love.
What's up?
So we got a bunch of shit we're going to dive into today. Joey's going to talk about, you know, his deployment a little bit. I'm going to see if I can get it out of him. Yeah, and we'll go from there. So, today, we are smoking, again, just because I got a bunch of them, the Alec Bradley Gold Crowns. Now, the last time we reviewed them, me and Sokka were saying that you get a lot of spit from them. And,
it's a good thing we have refreshments on hand.
We do indeed. But yeah, so Joey, definitely, once you get that baby going, give me your opinion on that in terms of the draw, the flavor, you know, the everything, you know? You know, you fucking smoke cigars, you know the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we have more opinions on them. I thought they were pretty decent, though. Gold Crowns. But
they light very easily.
It's always a good thing, man. It's a pain in the ass once the guy.
But I definitely know what you guys are talking about when it comes to
the spit. Yeah, right away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right away, you took the first puff, and it's like, woof, shit.
But it does have real good flavor to it. It's got good draw. Like, you get a lot of smoke.
That's why
you get a lot of smoke. Probably why you spit a lot, honestly. Yeah. I mean, so I like it. It's good.
I'm just working on getting mine lit right now. So, Joey, me and Sokka talked about it a bit, about how you, fought, you were in Iraq, right?
Afghanistan.
Oh, shit, it was Afghanistan.
2014, Helmand Province. I was on Camp Leatherneck with 1st Battalion, 2nd Marines, Motor T. So, I mean, it was dope. It was what I signed up for. What, you know, so ever since I could remember, you know, wanting to be in the military, and then finally, you know, especially us growing up, you know, seeing September 11th happen, you know, hearing it on the news all the time, there was that urge to wanna do my part and serve my country. And you know, unfortunately for a lot of these guys, they never really get their chance. And I know,
yeah, I'm one of those guys,
right? And I know that you know, people that have served that haven't deployed kind of feel like, you know, they didn't get their chance. But, you know, I think, you know, you still served your country, because you still answered the call. Granted, you didn't deploy, but you were still in service, and you were still doing the job for the military. But anyways, so let's see. I was 19.
You were a kid.
Yeah.
Fucking kid in Afghanistan.
But it was a lot of working hours. Since we were Motor T, we were always fixing the vehicles, making sure that the infantry were equipped with the vehicles that could go out and do the job. And, you know, we'd have to go out on patrols with them and stuff like that. So, whew, the first time you leave that wire, you're shitting yourself. Like, this is real.
It just got real.
Anything outside of that base, you're like, man, everything and anything could fucking kill me. So, it's definitely a really cool feeling, because you are completely in the zone. You're 100% heightened senses, ready to fucking go. I was on a water and refuel truck in the back of the convoy. So I kind of felt like we were a target. On that one, nothing really happened. I got to be in the gun for a little bit.
50.
It was a It was a 50. Yep, it was a 50.
Did you guys ever actually hook up 240 Bravos to the top of trucks?
Cause yeah.
We did that in training, but
yeah,
you would do that?
Yeah. On my other deployments, we had 240. My other convoys, we had 240s, but...
which are awesome.
Yeah, oh yeah. they're great. But nothing really happened. The thing that really, because we were there when it was kind of dying down, we were shutting down the base. I don't think I'm really going to dive deep into the shit. I might have to save for another day. But it was definitely interesting to see and interact with the people over there. The kids were very interesting too. We had a few gunners get rocks thrown at them. They would, these kids, I swear to God, MLB, y'all should go over there and pick some of these kids up because they can throw a goddamn rock. That's for shit sure. They actually broke one of our gunner's jaws with a rock. And... at the time, we were obviously very pissed about it. You know, these fucking kids are out here whipping rocks at us. But when you really take a step back and look at it, if we were 7, 8, 9 years old, out running around on the streets being idiot kids, and a foreign government was in our neighborhoods driving tanks and shit and Humvees and MRAPs down the road, and you knew you could throw rocks at them with no repercussions, we'd be out there throwing rocks every day, because that's just what kids do. But it was definitely an interesting time. It definitely made me grow up a lot. That's for damn sure. See the world very differently. And
what was the? Did you have a moment where you experienced pure hatred towards you? Like, were you ever anywhere where, like, there were, like, it probably most likely wouldn't have been from the kids, but, like, I would guess probably adult males.
Just the test, like, yeah.
They wanted to kill you. They just didn't have the means at the moment, but, like, if they could have, they would have killed you.
Right. I mean, we would do our convoys through these guys' backyards. Literally, you know, their farmland. We're driving over their poppy fields. They'd come out yelling, screaming.
And you crushing their fields? Or no? You just going like, yeah, sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Because those are the safest routes. They're not going to be planting IEDs in crop fields.
Right, right.
So I could understand why they were mad, and, you know, I understand that, but you could see it in their eyes. If they had the means, they would have, you know, taken action against us. That's for sure.
How well armed are the people over there? Like, your average people? Because I know, like, there's weapons everywhere.
Right.
Know? Like, but, like, are there, like, you know, some random farmers or whatever? Like, do they have rifles or AKs or anything? Like,
they do to a point. Most of them will have old weapons, you know, from the Soviets that are just another tool there, you know, for the vermin, for whatever, if, you know, a dispute occurs, something like that. But, you know, they would never, they all knew the drill. They would never show us, they would never brandish it, because if we see somebody,
would you guys confiscate their weapons? If you saw them with guns, would you try to take them?
We would leave that to the ANA, the Afghan army, because, like, yeah, we've been there for a while, but at least for me, I mean, I was just a freaking Lance Corporal, so I don't know their culture up and down. I know the gist of it. I know, you know, most of it, but, like, for things like that, we leave that to the ANA. When we were there, we couldn't even enter compounds. That was one of the rules that the United States put in place, that we were no longer allowed to enter compounds. We had to leave that to the ANA. Those guys were freaking hilarious. there was this one convoy they we went on, and we were going to secure this compound, let the ANA go in there because there was a suspected bomb maker. So we get there, secure the perimeter, and we send the ANA guys in there, and we're sitting there, posted up, you know, gunners watching our six, and we're just kind of hanging out watching the scene go down. And so the ANA hops out of their vehicles, and there's a dude with a 240. He's just carrying it, and he's got two bandoliers on, and he sticks a bandolier in, and to make sure his weapon system was firing or was properly, you know, ready to be used, just lets off a six-round burst into a wall, like, didn't let anybody know. We're all like, what the fuck?
You guys must have been like...
We're like, fuck the fuck, dude? And like, I mean, these guys just, Jesus, man. Like,
this is the NA. This is one of their guys.
Yeah. Okay. And then the next guy hops out, and all he has, no sidearm, none, nothing. Just an RPG and a backpack full of RPG shells.
Yo. That guy's not taking shit from anybody.
No.
Like, you fire an M4 at him, he shoots a rocket back at you.
Yo, those guys are crazy.
Did they like you guys? Did they get along with
they
you guys?
Did.
Had a decent relationship with them?
We did, and we kind of made every best effort to make them happy. And, mm-hmm. you know, we were there during Ramadan, which is very interesting because during Ramadan, they can't eat, they can't. I think they can only drink water from sun up to sundown.
And then they can eat it at night.
Right. They can't use any, like, tobacco products, anything like that. And,
I thought Muslims never used tobacco.
No, they all smoke.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They smoke cigarettes.
Really?
Okay.
Maybe I was wrong. I thought that was against their religion.
Right. So we
maybe
tried...
Maybe they just don't care.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck. But
like, yeah, fuck you.
We tried to, like, obey that as well during Ramadan, which... I was like, who the fuck cares, in my opinion, but I understood it from a relation standpoint, I guess, but it was definitely interesting to see, to literally be living in a third world country for 6 months, in a hostile third world country. My perspectives on a lot of things changed, that's for sure, so. I would go back. Civilian sector, if anything arose, you know, with all this bullshit with Iran and stuff like that. Just because the deployment way of life is so simple and so easy. It's like you get back to those basic human instincts. Mm-hmm. All you care about is eating, sleeping, and staying alive. You're not worrying about what somebody posted on Instagram. You're not worried about what's going on in the news. You're focused on the mission. You're focused on your buddies to the right and the left of you, and you're focused on yourself. And to be in that mindset for like 6 months, the days just blended together and you were just in the zone, and it was so simple. Which is, and the adrenaline is addicting as well. So
absolutely, I believe that. So I got a couple questions. Were there any private military contractors over there? Like, did you see anyone from, I don't know, fucking the big one that everyone knows is, and they're not even a company anymore, but Blackwater, or like any PMC guys at all?
I did, walking around. We really didn't you know, say much to them. We'd see them in maybe the DFAC or at the store. But
they're all Americans, those guys, for the most part.
Yeah, from what I can tell, they were all Americans. You know, there's counter intel guys running around and stuff,
right,
too. There's,
right.
You know, a whole bunch of shit that's way out of my pay grade, so...
Yeah,
you
were just like...
I'm
just trying to steal 1,000 fucking rippets out of the deep.
Yeah, I'm just trying to go get my packs of smokes, and that's all I give a fuck about, you know? But it was a good time.
What else did I want to ask? So, your time being over there... You said it changed you and made you understand more. So, like... what is your honest opinion of the Afghan people? After being over there.
I think, for the most part, your average Afghanistan, you know, farmer is just a simple man trying to live a simple life. You know, they literally have mud huts that are made, you know, generations ago that they've been living in their whole life. Their family all lives with them. They're, you know, they have cattle, they have different animals, and they have a field. And that's all they really care about. All this radicalism and all of the, like, stuff like that is forced upon them because these terrorists come in here and they say, if you don't either A, give us information about the Americans, or B, give us, you know, one or two of your sons to come fight with us, we're going to kill your whole family and burn your fields down. And for them, it's either do that or they're going to lose everything. So I understand that because they had nobody else to run to. Unfortunately, most of the ANA, not most, I shouldn't say most, some of the ANA will turn. They'll go join ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, anybody. And it's because they are so limited in their choices over there that if left alone, they would just be simple farmers and not bother anybody. And it's just because this whole area in the Middle East has just been war-torn for years and years and years that it's shit or get off the pot. So I feel for them. I feel bad for them. I wish there was a actual resolution for them because they are good people. They are fun people.
You ever get hammered over there? I know you'd like
it. No, we can drink.
A lot of drink, but any of your boys ever get any stuff in Listerine bottles?
They did.
Have one night.
I took one or two shots. I never really wanted to be off my game.
Out of control.
Because,
in the event something happened.
Like, we would get shelled that night sometimes. Yeah. And you never know what could happen, you know? And at least for me, I always wanted to be ready to go whenever.
Able to fight if you needed
so,
to.
Yeah. But it did definitely happen, trust me.
Did any of... Now, I know a lot of... I don't know if it's the Iraqis or Afghanis. It might be both. What was that stuff? They'd chew on some plant that would get them, like, jacked up. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the name.
But, like... But going off of that, throughout all of history, soldiers have always taken stimulants and shit.
Right.
Which makes sense. You're fucking going into battle.
Right. You
might
gotta
die.
Be, yeah, you
so,
gotta be fucking jacked
did you
up.
Have any guys that would, like, I don't know, anything? Like, were there guys, you know, finding ways to get, like, cocaine, anything like that to be, like, or speed, stuff like that to be, like, jacked up and, like, super alert?
Not to my knowledge. I'm sure it does happen. I wouldn't be surprised, especially, you know, maybe in the special forces sector where they're, you know, they're
a lot
actually
less regulated.
Right. And they're actually running fucking house to house missions. You know, we were going on mostly mounted convoys.
Right.
So you wouldn't really want to be all jacked up and jittery sitting in a fucking truck.
Right. Because then you probably just makes
right.
you more nervous.
I mean, we had Rippets, and those are basically liquid cocaine.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Rippet. Those are the military's energy drink, basically. Those things are friggin' amazing. But you know, other than just basically everyone's smoking or dipping. Everyone's drinking 5, 6, 7 energy drinks a day. You know, we're working 19, 20
yeah,
hours a day.
Them. You need them to keep you going.
How
much interaction, if any, did you guys have with other branches? Like, was the Army with you guys or Air Force? Obviously, I'm assuming the Navy wasn't there, but...
Well, we had Navy Corpsmen.
Well, yeah, but...
But those are part of our unit. Yeah. That's
pretty much.
Yeah, we had Army guys in the next motor pool over from us across the street. I think I went over there a few times for...
Just to get parts.
Yeah,
You guys got light bulbs?
Literally, yeah. You guys friggin' just have parts or tools or something like that.
All cool guys.
Yeah, chill. Everybody, you know, everybody, when you're on a forward operating base like that, the camaraderie is at another level. You know, you're all out there in the shit together.
Inter-branch rivalry. Well, that's the thing. I think a lot of civilians don't understand, because there is that perception that, like, oh, the Army and the Marines make fun. Everyone makes fun of the Air Force. The Army and the Marines go at each other all the time.
Right.
And then, I guess both the Army and the Marines both go with the Navy.
And then the Navy comes back at us. Yeah.
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 But it's like, I mean, it's just...
We're all playing on the same team, you know?
especially, it's more fun than anything. Like,
especially when we're playing as the away team. You know what I mean? So,
did you guys, what was your, in terms of, I'm forgetting the fucking name, what's the thing called, like, it's not a wellness center, but whatever, the recreational centers?
Oh, right, they had a little rec center.
Like, what do you guys have? Like, did you guys have, like, any, like, I remember you telling me, I just don't remember. Like Xboxes, PlayStations, shit like that.
Yeah, so they had Xboxes and PlayStations. But we actually, we were lucky enough to have Wi-Fi and in our rooms.
Oh, in the rooms you had Wi-Fi.
Right.
Look at America, bro. We're fighting a fucking war and we have Wi-Fi.
Yo, we're getting our soldiers Wi-Fi. Let's go.
Oh, my God,
and
man.
Also... We all prepared very well, at least my platoon did, for deployments. I went on Pirate Bay and got every good movie I could possibly find. And then, you know, especially like the veteran guys, like, you know, my sergeants and staff sergeants.
You've done it before. They
would have terabyte hard drives they would bring with
tons
them.
Tons of movies.
Tons of porn.
I was about to ask... How much porn did you guys
watch? Oh, my God. So much. Oh, my God. And we'd all be trading videos. I'm like, yo, let me get that.
You got backdoor slots 9? Let me get that.
But no, we would, you know, we'd either throw in a movie or we'd all sit out in the common area, like, because they were basically like quad cons that they furnished, kind of. And there was 3 people to a room to a, you know, 10x12 quad con with an AC unit.
Okay, so you guys were comfortable once you were in the room.
Yeah, decently. You know, we made the best of it. Yeah. And we just hang out, you know, hang out in the smoke pit. But like I said, we were working 19, 20 hours a day. So it's like you come back, you shower, you go have a few smokes out in the smoke pit, and then you're fucking going to bed. Because
I was
going to
say, any downtime you guys really had, you must have just taken a nap.
Right, sleeping, chilling, you know. But we did, with our downtime, we did try to make the best of it. Like, I remember one time my buddy got a care package of a bunch of lacrosse sticks and lacrosse balls. So we were out there just fucking whipping the lacrosse balls around and stuff like that.
So that's on too. So how were, like, did you guys get a lot of care packages, stuff like that? So,
yeah, I mean, I was lucky enough that I did. As a platoon, we got a lot. I know you guys sent me a couple.
We did.
Families would send us stuff. We would even get ones, just the random care packages that, you know, different companies or different organizations would put together and send out to us.
Yo, how crucial were baby wipes?
Oh, baby wipes are amazing.
Best thing in the world.
They're so great. Like I said, we were lucky enough to actually have showers, but, you know, throughout the day, you're freaking... Oh. I mean, because we were working all day, and then on our lunch breaks, we'd be in the gym, because, you know, we're on deployment, we're all getting swole as fuck, but...
Well, that helps you relieve stress, too.
Oh, like, yeah,
lifting 100%. Is a great way to get rid of 100%. Nervous energy, stuff like that. Did you guys, What were you carrying? Did you have an M4?
I had an M4.
You had an M4. What do you have? Was it just like a basic M4? Or so did you have?
I had an M4 ACOG with the ACOG scope, mm-hmm. and then I had brought with me a foregrip that came out to a bipod.
Oh, I love those.
Spring loaded.
Those are great.
Yeah, it was freaking great.
I never had one of the one with the bipod. I always just had the grip itself.
And then literally as many magazines as you could carry.
I was going to say, when you went out, would you carry the regular combat load 270 or did you have more? Did you like have shit in your pockets?
I would have, I would go 270 because if I'm getting anything more where I need more than 270,
you're fucked
I'm
anyway.
Fucked anyways.
Yeah, you got a problem.
And I'd rather have less weight.
Yeah.
Because.
Oh, hold on. Serious question. Fucking. Now, I know you know all the training. Obviously, you weren't infantry, but it doesn't matter. You still know the deal. In training, how much you carry your goddamn rucksack around? When you guys were over there, did you ever carry rucks or did you carry your assault packs?
We would carry our assault packs just to the motor pool. And then even when we went out on a convoy, I would just bring my assault pack.
All that training I did.
Well, I think that's more for more dismounted patrols. We were doing a lot of mounted convoys, so.
And you said you were attached to an infantry unit.
Yeah, a 1st Battalion, 2nd Marines is an infantry unit.
Word. So you guys were their motor team group. You were with them. Word.
Right. So they'd always take a mechanic with them on convoys just in case anything broke down. Mm-hmm. And some of us were when we would do resupplies to different bases like Baldak. We were shutting down Baldak while we were shutting down Leatherneck, so we'd have to resupply them a couple times in between the shutdown just so they could have, you know, supplies. We would go out as a motor T unit ourselves and resupply them ourselves. So we had our own gunners, we had our own drivers, we had our own dismounts. And, you know, we'd just go out there and do the damn thing, so.
What was the scariest moment you had when you were over there?
Honestly, I think the scariest moment was, it wasn't even when I was outside of the wire, so to speak. It was, my buddy had gone out with, I think it was Bravo Company. And they were out on just a standard convoy. They were just patrolling the area. And we got word that his Vic had been hit. He had hit an IED. And he was the gunner. So that was the only information we had for hours. Was Gray Bill's fucking truck's been hit. And we don't know how big. We don't know who's alive. We don't know what. So we're all, literally work stopped. We were all just sitting in the smoke pit, waiting. Just waiting on word, because that's our boy, you know what I mean? Like, we're brothers, you know? Yeah, and so that was fucking scary. Luckily, they only hit a toe popper. It was about, I think, 30 pounds or so.
Okay, so his vehicle didn't get, like, obliterated.
No, yeah.
Blew out, like, the bottom of it.
Right, and he racked his head pretty good. He ended up being diagnosed with the TBI and stuff like that.
Fuck.
And he did get the Purple Heart, so shout out to him. Yeah. But that was fucking scary. I was like, damn, like, because that is, nothing's worse than that. Like, losing. Luckily, 1st Battalion, 2nd Marines went all fucking 6 months, and we didn't lose a goddamn person. That's because we're some badass motherfuckers. And, but we were there when 2-3 got hit. They hit, a V-bid hit them. 235 Jesus. Pound IED in this V-bid.
And for anyone listening who doesn't know what that is, a V-bid is a vehicle-borne IED. Yeah, so it's a bomb in a truck or car.
In a vehicle, and they just drive it straight into the MRAP. And if you guys are familiar with MRAPs, they are big-ass military vehicles. Go ahead and Google that. And imagine one of those being completely split in half by an IED. I think two or three, I think it was three guys died. And we were actually in the same AO as them when it happened. I wasn't. Alpha Company was. A couple of my buddies were really close to that. They also got hit by a VBID that same day. Thankfully, none of them died. But yeah, it's definitely some scary shit when something like that actually happens. Because, you know, up until then, you go out on these convoys and you kind of feel invincible because, you know, you have that fucking Star Spangled Banner on you. But, you know, we're just as mortal as they are. So, and they're, you know, they're down for their cause just as much as us, if not more. You know, because they're so radicalized and they're so fucking crazy that they're willing to fucking drive a fucking vehicle straight into somebody else and know that they're gonna die for sure, but try to take as many people out. Like, it's fucked.
Did you ever work any ECPs, entry control points, anything like that?
I didn't. I didn't have to. I did actually have to.
So I feel like that would be one of the scariest fucking things. Every time a goddamn vehicle approaches it, you don't, like, this could be it. Like,
right, fucking, right, you never know. Jesus and Christ. That shit would happen all the time. Not when we were there, but, you know, especially in Iraq and stuff like that. But I did have to take a couple shifts guarding a prisoner.
Really?
Yeah. It was a 17-year-old kid, and he had...
Did you guys have cells? Like, was he in a prison cell?
No, he was actually... Tied up? So, he was actually in the hospital.
Okay. Want to y'all shoot him?
Yeah, somebody... I think either they shot him in the leg, or he got hit with shrapnel. And he was all fucked up. But, yeah, he was shooting at a convoy, and... They ended up taking him hostage, and they brought him back. So that's fucking definitely interesting, because you're literally sitting 5 feet away from the enemy.
Yeah. And he wants to kill you. Like, if he could, he...
And if he could, yeah, exactly. And, you know, you're just sitting there like, go ahead, motherfucker, try something. Because you have... If they try something, you can kill them.
Oh, yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so. What, on average, how is their technology level? Like, I'm not talking about, like just the people over there. I'm talking about the fighters. Like, because you guys are rolling, you're in full kit, you got body armor, helmets. I don't know how often you use the nods or anything like that, but you have them. You right. have night vision. You have all the, you know, relatively advanced weaponry, fucking ACOGs and M4s and stuff. Now, I know a lot of their weapons themselves are old Soviet tech stuff.
Right.
But, like, did they have body armor, a lot of them, or...
Not that I ever saw.
Any helmets, nods, would, anything? Like,
some of them would be wearing either, you know, fucking old ANA helmets that they took or something like that. But for the most part, they were just running around with an AK in their hand, you know? And
regular...
Yeah.
Regular,
They're just... They're a guerrilla warfare. Right. They're just running and gunning. Some of them are pretty fucking regular dudes that are just forced into this situation right. or brainwashed as a kid, you know? So...
Taught their whole lives that you're the enemy.
Exactly. Exactly.
So during mobilization training for you guys, how much... Like, obviously, most of it's just, like, training, getting ready, but, like, how much, I guess, cultural training did you get? Did you guys learn about, like, don't go up to their women. Don't do shit like that.
Right.
Like, or I mean, what was that? Like, what were the interactions like with the women over there? Was it like, you know, because I know that as far as Islamic countries are, men and women don't talk, I don't know if they don't talk, but they don't, like, You're never going to be alone in a room with a woman.
Right.
Unless you're her family member.
Well, most of the, like, cultural interactions and stuff like that, I didn't really have any of that. I think that's more of the higher-ups, you know, the officers and stuff like that. You know, they're the ones going into these towns. We're really just driving through these towns, you know. We're not... I'm not getting out and, you know, walking these streets. But they would... I think we kicked a few classes, but for the most part, it didn't seem like they were too concerned about delving us into the culture of it. Okay. Honestly, I think we got more cultural classes when we were going to Japan, which I fucking, oh my God, I love Okinawa. I fucking love Japan. Japan is fantastic. Honestly, like, if you ever just want to see the fucking world, like, join. Like, I mean, I didn't like it towards the end, obviously. Just a lot of bullshit, a lot of political dog and pony
government
shows. Yeah, yeah, like, but, man, you know, like, I'm happy I got to deploy to Afghanistan. I'm happy I got to see Japan. Japan was fantastic. Such a beautiful country, such a fucking... All the people over in Japan were just fantastic. They were great people.
Friendly. They liked you guys.
Oh, my God, dude. You'd walk into a restaurant and they'd, like, shut the whole place down to make sure you were, like, taken care of and happy and, like, enjoying yourself and, like...
Well, I think that's a big thing with the Japanese, too, is they're very good hosts. Like,
they're fantastic hosts.
I think that's a cultural thing, is you take care of your guests.
Yeah.
Didn't you say there was some Japanese sergeant who was like, oh, no, he was whatever there, like a private or equivalent to a lance corporal, who was like in his 40s, he had gotten demoted like 20 times because that guy.
No, he was a mass sergeant.
Oh, he was? Okay.
Yeah, he was high rank. He was high up there. He was like
an E7. Right?
Yeah, and we got shithoused with him because we did a joint training op with them on mainland. So I got picked to go to mainland because we were on, you know, the island of Okinawa, and, after that training, we had a night where we went to their barracks and they kind of did like a whole show. They did, you know, these demonstrations and these really cool, like, it was like karate, probably not the right word for it, but...
Some sort of their
martial arts
yeah.
Right. They were doing a demonstration about that, and then we got to eat their food, and they busted out the sake. That shit will get you, especially...
sake? In the middle of the day? Do you remember that in Kill Bill?
Yes.
Oh, God.
We had this habu sake, which if people don't know, habu sake is... they take a bottle and they kill a habu viper and they put the dead body of the habu viper in the bottle and fill it up with sake.
So you're like drinking its venom effect.
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. And the venom and the alcohol mix
fucks you up.
And whoo boy, you are feeling it. But we had this fantastic mess night with them, and then we invited them back to where we were staying to drink and play drinking games, and just, we all went ape shit.
Yeah.
Like, we all drank very, very many fucking, like, sake, beer. They, their liquor comes in, like, milk cartons. So, like, I had no idea what I was drinking. They were just handing me things, and
God.
I was just, and I remember me and that mass sergeant went outside. We were puking our brains out and then went back inside and kept drinking.
I think the zombie apocalypse.
It might be happening.
The amount of emergency vehicles that have gone by us.
It's like four.
Yeah.
Five. But yeah, no, man. It was definitely a good time.
So, I'm going to pull this back to Afghanistan. Because I think that's what people are going to be the most interested in. How are your officers in Afghanistan? Were they stupid, like how officers tend to be? Or were they...
For the most part, they were good. Like, especially...
And I'm talking more like not the super high-ups. I'm talking like...
Right, lieutenants
and captains.
Yeah. They all were definitely on their shit. in Afghanistan, at least from my perspective. You know, they never made any really dumb calls. They never really made any dumb decisions. They always had their troop welfare in check, which was awesome, which was great. Because, like you said, there is that mentality where officers kind of will fuck things up. But at least in my unit, it seemed like... Jesus Christ. It seems like they would take what the senior enlisted were telling them and run with it. They really had trust in their senior enlisted personnel to make the calls and give them guidance on what was the correct course of action to take, which was good. Like I said, you know, nobody got killed, so they all did a great job. A bunch of them got a bunch of awards, especially the, you know, the infantry officers and stuff like that for all these successful convoys and you know, mission success of what 1-2 was there to do. So
nice, good. Because yeah, I mean, anybody in the military knows that a lot of the time officers can be, especially like the lieutenants, can be kind of stupid. And they can, like, make things more difficult than it needs to be.
Right. Especially because, you know, they're fresh out of college. They're, you know, all they have under their belt is their officer's school. But, you know, we honestly did a good job for the workups to get in the most situational exercises that we could to, you know, give us the best training to go over there and get the job done. So.
Good. Good. Oh, something else I want to ask. So, the Afghanis, how do they speak English? Any of them? Like,
I think some of them would speak broken English. None of it was very good. We did have a lot of translators on hand. And the translators were great. They're all, for the most part, Afghan citizens. And I think what they were saying was, if you're an interpreter for a certain amount of years, you get recognized to get a visa to come to the United States and live here. Which, that's some fucking motivation.
I mean, it's the ultimate move up in the world, man.
Yeah.
You go from living in mud huts in Afghanistan to living somewhere where you get convenience stores.
And, yeah. And, like, you...
Liberty.
And they would come here and they would get government jobs.
Yeah.
They would still work.
Stay as interpreters.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
And, you know, land of opportunity, man. We're fucking giving out opportunities to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So, I thought that was pretty cool.
That's very cool. So, another reason we wanted to have Joey on is that Joey's obsessed with aliens.
Yes.
So, Joey signed up for the Storm Area 51
Facebook page. I did not actually
sign
up.
Oh, yeah, I thought you did.
No, I'll let those stupid motherfuckers go storm that shit. They ain't gonna... Even if I... Like, honestly, even if they got in there, I feel like...
I don't think there's anything
there. I don't think there's anything there. Anything of worth would, one, have been long gone by now.
Yeah.
And two, like, literally the government's sending out statements about it. There are... Anything that was there is already out of there. I do like the idea, though. Like,
let's see them aliens.
Like, honestly, though, I mean, I don't know if you listen to Joe Rogan's podcast with Bob Lazar.
I listened to part of it, man. I'm not going to lie. I couldn't get into it.
Really?
It was like, I just thought it was very slow for me. Like, I don't know. And I'm all about Rogan's podcasts. I don't know, I just couldn't get into it. I wasn't enjoying it.
His story is insane. It's awesome, and there's actually a documentary on Netflix.
You
should maybe check that out. That one's a little more fast-paced, a little more interesting. But he was basically saying that he was hired to reverse-engineer these UFOs that they had. And... like, obviously, at this point, I think over 50% of the population would agree that there's got to be something out there. You know, every day we're learning more and more about space and how it's, you know, ever expanding and all of these different galaxies and universes. And it, I feel like it's hubris to think that we're the only ones.
Well, one of my favorite things, I mean, you've talked about it before, is the idea that if there's nothing out there, that's a lot of empty space.
Yeah.
Like, that is a lot of empty space.
Right.
Like, there's got to be something out there.
And just to see how diverse and how resilient life is on this planet, what's to say that it's not just as resilient, if not more resilient, out there? There's different compounds that can be a building block of life. Boron, you can, you know, it's not all carbon-based for like, the building blocks of life. Different, and there's still elements that we probably have no idea exist. And for our government to clearly have knowledge of this, like, you know, you could go on YouTube and watch UFO videos all day, and you can only debunk so many of them, right? Well, I mean, like, there's, trust me, there's plenty of bullshit videos out there, of course, but
I think the most interesting ones are the ones that are, like, U.S. Air Force pilots that see them and are like, what the fuck
right,
is that?
Because
those guys actually know their shit.
They know their shit. They've been up there for countless and countless hours.
Yeah.
And it's like, what would they have to gain for saying, yeah, I saw some fucking weird shit up there that made no sense? Which leads me to a question for you, would be, how do you think we would react to alien life, like, coming down? Like, a spaceship lands in the middle of friggin' Times Square and the aliens come out. How do you think we would go about it?
I think it, I mean, there'd be a lot of variables and factors in it. Like, I mean, how many of them? And, like, what do they look like? And what's their first, like, so they just show up.
Right.
I mean, I could easily see martial law getting declared, at least in the area. Because, like, it's literally something that we've never dealt with before.
Right, you wouldn't want a citizen running up and, like, punching one in the face.
Yeah,
and then,
I mean, that'd totally be me. I'd be like, nope, not having Independence Day happen today.
Right,
like,
and but to think that if these aliens have the technology to get here,
well, what else could they do?
They're far more along than us.
I think if something like that happened, I think the United States military would be on, like, high alert. We'd be as, like, ever, it would be the highest level that it can get to in terms of readiness.
Right.
I think, like, it would be one of those things where everyone's ready. Like, battle stations are ready to go.
Threat level red.
Yeah. And even if, like, they weren't necessarily being threatening, it's like, well, you don't know.
Right.
We literally have no idea what these things are. I think, for example, in Times Square, I think every single police officer in New York would be called in.
Yeah.
All 40-something thousand of them. The National Guard would get deployed into the city.
Almost immediately. FBI, CIA.
Yeah, it would be
all the three-letter agencies,
yeah,
would be
it
there.
It would be a shit show. Now, it really would depend as well on the type of aliens. Like, with the things we don't even know. Like, what,
right, are they humanoid?
Like, one of the big things is always, like, oh, like, what if they're shapeshifters?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's something scary, too. I think, and if, let's say they are threatening. Let's say they're a threat. Like, they're attacking people. I think the area, like, I think New York City would get quarantined immediately. Like, hardcore military quarantine. Like, you'd have the fucking Navy would be in the harbors. You'd have the entire New York National Guard would probably be deployed, as well as surrounding states would probably be sending assets in to help, like, block off the city and everything like that. Because, I mean, friggin' New York City is so goddamn big, you need additional assets. And unless, like, and who knows, with something like that where it's something we never dealt with before, I mean, it's illegal to send federal troops in. So it would have to be, unless martial law is declared. If martial law was declared, then yeah, then there'd be federal troops brought in. And the active army, active marines, all that stuff would get brought in. But if it wasn't, I mean, you'd have, like, all the surrounding states sending guard units in. And no one would be, like I said, it'd be quarantined. Civilians wouldn't be in or out.
Oh, let alone the mass panic from the general population.
Oh, yeah, it'd be
chaos.
You'd have the risk of people turning on the military because, like, and again, this is already, we've established that they're hostile. Like, the aliens are hostile.
Right.
You'd have people trying to get out of the city and the military wouldn't be letting them
full
leave.
Panic mode. Right.
You'd have people fighting the military, which, I mean, it would be a catastrophic, like, in terms of the event, the loss of life. I think that, let's say it was something like Independence Day where, like, a bunch of their ships show up, like, over cities or whatever, they're just there. I think it would very quickly go from where just quarantining stuff to we'd be going all out against them.
Right.
Especially if they were hostile and they were fighting. It would definitely be like an escalation of force type thing. Like, we'd be testing them to see what worked on them, stuff like that. I think with the current administration as well, with John Bolton being in the administration, he's a fucking war hawk. I think we would, and Trump being, he's not so much a war hawk. I mean, he's actually pretty trying to keep us out of shit as much as he can, but he's also, I mean, he's down to fight. Like, Trump right. is 100% down to unleash the military. I think nuclear weapons would get used very quickly. If
absolutely.
If conventional weapons were not working, like, I think the production of MOABs would go through the roof, because it's the most powerful thing we have that isn't a nuclear bomb.
Right.
So,
we'd probably try to capture one.
Yeah, we'd have to try to capture them so we could experiment on them and figure out what hurts them. You'd have a major fucking problem. Major problem. And it would be, I mean, a good thing for the U.S. is that a huge portion of the civilian population is armed as well.
Right.
So I think if any people were going to be able to deal with a hostile alien threat, I think Americans would be cut out to do it a little better than other people. At the same time, though, some of these societies that are a lot more, militaristic is not even the right word, but, like, controlled by the government, like, for example, Russia, because it's, you know, they're a free country. It's like, not really.
Right.
Like, the Russian military, like, they're, you know, Russians are used to having a strong government that, like, tells them what to do.
Right.
But, like, Russia, China, I think China would react
the worst.
I think incredibly aggressively. So I think China would probably nuke it right away.
Oh, yeah.
They'd also be, I think us and China would be trying to figure out all of our technological thing. Like, the Chinese and the Japanese are so advanced when it comes to computers and coding and all right. this stuff that they'd be working to figure stuff out. What I would be curious about is to see how countries work together. Like, say the United States is dealing with these aliens and no one else is. Who says that, like, China doesn't take the advantage of that and be like, all right, well, we're going after Japan now and Taiwan. We're establishing total control of the South China Sea because the United States isn't going to do shit right now because they're worried about some aliens.
Right. You don't think the entire world would put their differences aside?
I don't think that would happen unless there was a threat that we were all going to die.
Right.
Like, I think human beings are cynical. Like, also, I think most governments around the world think that the United States military is the most powerful military in the world. And, I mean, it's just kind of fact. It is. I think most of them would think that the U.S. military will handle this eventually. They'll
figure it out.
So they would see it as a chance to do, like, you'd see Russia going south into the Caucasus and taking over their old Soviet states, Kazakhstan, all the stands, Armenia, Georgia, all that stuff. The Russians would be going full bore in there. The Chinese would be taking over all their little countries around them. They'd probably go after Japan, too. I think you'd have some major... Israel would get swarmed again by all the Middle Eastern countries.
Absolutely. It would be utter chaos. And I think, honestly, I think that's why whoever's up there, whoever's out there, hasn't tried to make contact with us, because they're so advanced that they look at us and they're like, they are nowhere close to being ready to, like, really deal with it and really figure out how much more is actually out there.
But what if they are hostile, though, and they're like... Like, one of the biggest themes that we always see in movies is that, oh, this alien species comes to Earth because where they came from ran out of resources and they're here to harvest
ours. Right. Which it could be true, but if they have the ability to travel the galaxies and everywhere, that I'm sure that they would be able to find other planets. Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they found Earth and they're like, okay, this has all the right resources that we need. But I do think that that is a big reason that we aren't really ready to really deal with that. Which sucks, because, man, I would love for them to come down here and be like, oh, we'll show you how to travel the galaxies. Because, dude, I swear, if we had the ability to have the technology like in, like, Star Wars, I'd have a crew and a ship, and I would just be going.
So, I think that if aliens do show up, I think they will be hostile.
You think so?
I don't think it's going to be friendly. And like, I think people have this thing, oh, human beings are violent. No. I disagree. I think nature is violent. You look at anything. You look at single-celled organism, all this stuff, everything. Everything kills. Everything does. Like, fucking, you look at animals will kill for whatever they need. Like, you know, even like, oh, your favorite, you know, your dog. It's like, well, if that dog's starving, doesn't It'll fucking matter that you're its owner. You're dead. Well, you're not dead, but, like, it's gonna come after you. I think when the need arises, nature is vicious. Animals don't care about what's right or wrong. They care about survival.
Right.
So I think that we like to have this kind of, and it's an optimistic view that, like, oh, if aliens come, they're going to be more advanced than us, and, like, they're going to want to show us this thing. And I'm like, I don't think they're going to want to show us shit. I think they're going to look at us and see us as weaker than them and be like, we can use them, or we can take them out. I mean, think about, like, I could easily see them being like, oh, human beings are incredibly resilient to animals. And we are.
Right.
We heal. Our bodies get stronger the more you work us. I could easily see them thinking that, like, they will make a good workforce.
Right.
And we breed super fucking fast.
That's true.
Like, human beings can just keep pumping out more human beings. I think we'd have a problem if aliens came down. I think that if things did get bad enough, I think it is something where world governments would unite to try to take them out. But the thing is, it all depends on, do our weapons do anything?
Right.
Like, can we hurt them? Will nukes hurt them? Well, there's always, and that's another thing, humans are so good at killing.
We are
so good at killing.
If you give us, like, the right amount of time, we're gonna
figure things out, and, like, we're excellent killers. Think about it. What? Let's say 800 years ago, we had spears and swords and, like, chainmail,
mm-hmm.
and now we have bombs that can blow up entire cities.
Right.
Like, pretty fucking good.
And we came out taking down woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers. And
we've been killing things that are more powerful than us forever.
Right, because we use our brains.
And we work in groups. So yeah, we use our brains and we work in groups.
Taking out lions on the friggin' savannah. Right. And
like, how many times do people, like, one-on-one, humans aren't that tough.
No.
You put a group of like 6 or 7 people together, do some fucking damage. Especially with modern weaponry. Like, fucking humans can be unstoppable. Yeah, humanity would, I think, if we managed to unite quick enough, if we recognized the threat we were facing, I think humanity could do some serious damage. I mean, we're some tough motherfuckers, dude. Human beings, sure. We're dangerous motherfuckers.
Absolutely. Like, I just want to know what the government knows about these aliens. Obviously, it's basically common knowledge that they at least have had a few aircrafts. I mean, at least from the Roswell.
Dude, not to mention, think about all the shit that happened in other countries that we don't fucking pay attention to.
Yeah, think about how many other governments have.
Yeah, like our shit's Area 51. Yo, the Russians were the first in space, man. You don't think they saw some shit? Jesus Christ.
Or Germany during, like, the Nazi regime and what they were doing. About
some crazy shit. Those Nazis, man.
Yeah.
They were doing some crazy experiments. They were doing all sorts of weird shit, man. They were,
like, they have to know a lot more than they're ever going to tell us. And I just think that's a disservice to us, because yes, if they came out with it all at once, people would freak the fuck out. But if you're like, hey, listen, we have this information and we're gonna slowly let you guys know. I mean, they really already are, because they're already letting all of these classified documents go public. Mm-hmm. They're releasing them on purpose of all of these UFO sightings, all of these encounters.
They could also be releasing a lot of stuff that's not real to flood it with misinformation.
Right. They could also be doing that. I just, like, dude, to our knowledge, they could already be in communications with other civilizations. And just, they're not telling us yet. And I just think that that's, man, I would just fucking love to know. I would love to know.
Man, could you imagine the speciesism that would happen? Like, racism, but not racism.
Right,
like,
racism would go out the door.
Like, I don't think it would. I think to a point it would, but, like, you have people who are just still.
Yeah, just like,
fuck that. But their ways. I think a lot of that energy would get redirected. Say the aliens weren't hostile. But right. There would still be this massive level of hatred towards the aliens.
Because they're different.
Yeah, they're different, and if they are more advanced than us, a lot of it would be bred by fear.
Right.
It would be a fear thing, a fear-based species racism thing. Because we don't know what they are, we don't know what they're capable of. Not to mention, nobody trusts the goddamn government. You have Democrats and Republicans, libertarians, conservatives, liberals, whatever. Nobody likes the government. Everybody complains about the government.
Right.
So it's like, oh, the government's handling it and working with the aliens. Who the hell is going to be like, Democrats would be like, Trump's an idiot, he's going to get us into a war with the aliens. Right. Libertarians would be like, we should let everyone deal with the aliens on their own accord. And Republicans would be like, we should, now we're dealing with a hardcore alien species. We have to move towards a fascist thing where there's a much more powerful state. Like, fucking Jesus Christ, it would not be good. No one would be happy with the way that the government was handling it.
Right. It would definitely cause more problems. I agree. But I feel like that would possibly move us towards, okay, now we're going to fund a lot more into space programs, a lot more into figuring out this technology to actually travel the stars. Which would be fucking awesome. Send my ass. Let's go.
Dude, I totally... Okay, so you're a vet. You fought. You're all about space. What do you think of the Space Force?
I think... I mean, we're going to need it eventually, right? I mean, if, you know, technology keeps going the way it's going, we're going to eventually be able to have these ships that can go these vast distances, and you're gonna need highly trained people on them. So people are I even make jokes about it. It's right, but I don't see the need for it quite yet. We can't even get to Mars yet. Why do we need?
Yeah, but don't you think that would have been people's reaction? I'm sure that was people's reaction when JFK got NASA going.
Right. No, I agree, and that's why, like, I see it as it's a good idea. I would just like to see the technology catch up first, before we. Like, we could... I'm down to fund it, honestly, because, like I said, we need the technology. It's about time that we need to start looking into space seriously. Because we honestly don't know what's going to happen here, you know? Mm-hmm. And whether or not we like it, the Earth's getting overpopulated. It really is. I mean, in certain countries.
China and India, man.
Exactly. People are fucking on top of each other.
They're the problem. That's something I was talking to someone about that recently. That people talk about, like, oh, America's overcrowded. The United States is not overcrowded.
Go to Wyoming.
We have some cities that obviously are overcrowded. Like, you look at, you know, New York, even, like, Boston's a small city. But it's overcrowded for the size of the city. But it's like, even like Massachusetts is one of the original colonies, one of the original states, and it's little, and the population is disgustingly huge for the state. But it's like, once you get away from Boston and the greater Boston metro area, go to Western Mass, dude. It's farmland.
Yeah, exactly.
It's farmland. Like, that's what 90% of the United States
is
open land. Right. Like, it's country.
Yeah.
It's just people don't want to. Now, some people do, but a lot of people are like, no, I want to live in the city. I don't want to have to be self-sufficient. I want to be able to get everything.
Right, and especially now, because that's where all the tech jobs are.
Yeah.
That's where all these tech companies are. That's where all these big businesses are that employ millions and millions of people. Mm-hmm. But I think even that could start going away because, dude, most of these jobs, you can do it at home now.
Oh, yeah.
Or automate. Automation is definitely gonna take some jobs, but it's also gonna make some jobs at the same time because you're gonna need people to program these automations and, mm-hmm. you know, maintain them. But, like, most of these jobs you can do sitting on your couch with your laptop.
Very true. This is definitely kind of like a romantic, like, looking at the past. I am envious of, like Thomas Jefferson's ideal America was everyone was a farmer. Everyone had their own land. Everybody was independent. Everyone grew their own food, had their own livestock. And in the modern age, and obviously because of industrialism, like, who the hell is a farmer anymore? Very, very few people.
Right.
We're so dependent on each other. And, like, I would love, I genuinely, and I'm not saying, like, I want to go all out full hardcore farmer, but, like, me and Katie have talked about it, dude. When I'm in one place, I would love to have, like, goats, chickens, stuff like that. Big ass garden, just for the independence factor of it, and like, I don't know. I think we're kind of going down a different path here, but like, I think people have become incredibly inefficient.
Oh yeah, like,
Americans.
Absolutely. Like, you throw somebody that has lived and worked in the city their entire life into the middle of the woods,
they're gonna die.
They're gonna die. Yeah. You go back. What? Not even maybe 50, 60 years.
Even the people from the cities were more efficient.
Exactly. Because they either grew up still having to do a lot of shit on their own.
Yeah, or even if you worked in factories and shit, you worked with your hands.
Exactly.
Everybody was like, dude, you look back like 1930s, 1940s, 1950s America, obesity wasn't a problem.
No.
Like, people were in better shape. Like, they were healthier. Everyone, not everyone, but, like, a lot more people knew how to hunt. I think that we have become a very sedentary people. Now, something that it's happening, and we're moving towards this, and it's scary to think about where this is going to go. But what do you think about, like, virtual reality stuff? Where, like, I'm not talking about just right now. It's just, like, kind of basic games where it's like, oh, virtual reality, put the little headset on. What do you think about the stuff where it's, like, virtual reality where you actually, like, get in a thing and you're in a different world?
Right. I mean,
there are going to be people who don't want to come out. There are going to be people who don't want to come out. They won't come out.
Right.
Like, they're just going to stay in it.
Did you see that movie Ready Player One?
I did not. I'm aware of the plot.
Fantastic.
I know the Master Chief was in it.
And yeah, all the great video game and movie characters were in it. So as somebody who yawns a lot, who highly enjoys video games. I love video games. I feel like I always will.
You grew up with them, man.
Right.
We were the video game generation.
Exactly. From that standpoint, virtual reality is super cool. I think that is really cool to actually be able to fully dive into a game would be fantastic.
Like Red Dead Redemption VR.
Right.
Would be incredible.
Yeah. Halo VR, could you imagine?
Awesome. It'd be so much fun. And what about like The Sims VR?
Right.
Like, that's what I'm talking about too, where it's not like, obviously, you know, Halo, stuff like that's great. But I'm talking where it's like you go into it and it's live like life. Real life.
Right.
But it's, you can be whatever you want.
Exactly.
You can make yourself look how you want. You can do whatever you want. And no one would have to work. You know what I mean? It's just you do whatever the hell you want.
Right. Basically, in Ready Player One, that's what happens. Everybody really, for the most part, doesn't care about the outside world anymore. They just care about being in the VR game. So that's kind of scary, because there will be people that won't stop playing. There will be people that will just be in there nonstop. That'll be their lives. They would have to, with the VR, figure out how to supply your body with nutrients, though. Whether it's a fucking feeding tube or something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. To go to that extent, basically you're putting yourself in the Matrix.
Yeah.
It is scary to that aspect, but it is interesting and cool to see that we have this technology to do that. Like, they're already coming out with body suits and stuff like that, where you get punched in the chest in the game, you feel that.
Yeah.
I feel like at some point there is going to be this blowback to it where somebody's going to be wearing those full body suits and die. Because
they'll have a heart attack. Something
will happen where they'll actually sustain a real life injury.
So I think like one of the best thing, a good thing to kind of bring into this is where it's not VR, but it is a make believe world. Is the stuff like from Westworld, like, and the thing is like I'm excited about stuff like this. Like, I think it would be awesome to go to like Westworld or something.
Right, like an AI.
Yeah, where you just go in there and it's real, you know what
right.
I mean? But it's not at the same time. Like, you know, you're not going to get hurt or anything like that, but you can just do whatever you want. Like, I think it's, because I think about it, dude, me and you, we know the deal. We play video games for hours and hours and hours and hours on end.
Oh, yeah.
Like, imagine if, like, me and you were like, oh, you want to hop on and go to, like, Red Dead Redemption, where you're actually in the world.
Right. It would be awesome because you could experience things that you wouldn't be able to experience in this life. In this lifetime, you know, you could go back, you know, I'm sure they would have all of these ancient civilization games where you could go back and just dive yourself into the culture because they could set up these AI programs where they literally study everything about that civilization and put it into a game.
And hop into a Macedonian phalanx.
Exactly, exactly. And it would be fantastic, but like you said, people would get addicted to it. People would get too hooked on it, and we would just be completely plugged in all the time. And
I'd get addicted to it.
And I feel like less and less in this culture that's going towards all this technology and stuff is we've stopped appreciating what's around us. You know, this world is fucking gorgeous. I mean, I love going on fucking hikes and stuff like that, dude. Like, you know, a few weeks ago, I went on a nice hike with Dave. And, like, you stand on top of a mountain and you're just like, incredible. Wow.
Yeah, it's
like,
incredible.
Insane, dude. Like, it's awe-inspiring. And I feel like a lot of people don't do that nowadays. A lot of people just kind of sit inside, either watch TV and, you know, that's all fine. I do that all the time, you know. But I feel like we're getting farther and farther away from actually enjoying what's around us and enjoying this wonderful fucking place that we are. Especially, like, we're super lucky in New England where if we want to go to the fucking beach, we go right to the beach. If we want to go up and hike these massive mountains, they're right there in New Hampshire and Maine and Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people live in these amazing places and they just, like, take nature for granted, where we've strayed so far away from being connected to nature. But I mean, at the same time, that's just, maybe that's the path that humans are supposed to be on, is we're supposed to create all this technology where, unfortunately, we're creating all these AIs.
Do you think we'll get to a point where AI becomes so advanced that we'll have machines to do everything for us so that we will actually be able to enjoy life, where our entire lives will be about entertainment?
That would be fantastic.
All food is created by machines. Like, every, like, task, work will be automated. And where you can just
enjoy life. I would love that, obviously. I don't think anybody ever would complain about that. Do I think that would ever happen with the greed of man? No. Because all these people that are creating all these technologies and AIs wouldn't want that to happen for free. And if none of us have jobs, how are we going to pay for anything? So, yes, in a vacuum, it sounds amazing, but
they
would never
need money anymore.
Right.
Because all their food and everything is provided for them.
Right, but with greed, these founders and CEOs and big board companies that, you know, run everything wouldn't ever allow that to happen. They wouldn't ever want that to happen because they want us to stay under their boot.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to run the show. And if AIs are doing everything like that, people can actually sit back and think and actually be like, hey, actually, they're fucking us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they keep us busy with this everlasting need for material things and having to work all the time, and that you can't ever sit back and think, like, oh, that is kind of fucked up what they're doing. We should probably do something about that.
Well, I mean, we've seen it in history that advances in technology always create a more intelligent human being. Like, you went from being hunter-gatherers to once the agricultural revolution happened,
it was a boom.
Is all of a sudden people had time. That's when you started seeing art.
Right.
And things for entertainment started becoming more prevalent because it was, oh, well, now we don't have to spend all this time hunting. You know, it's like we have livestock, we have agriculture. And now, I mean, look at us now in modern society. The hell, we go to work and we do a job and we complain about it, but it's like, work 8 hours a day, and the rest of the time you have nothing to do. It's just do whatever you want. Reality, it really is. Do what you want. No one's forcing you to do it, at least in the United States. No one's forcing you to do anything. It's like the shit that you can do, like, we're so used to it, but it's like, oh, think about how cheap it actually is. If you were like, I want to go travel all 50 states. Like, yeah, there's a pro-con thing of like, well, if I disappear for a month and a half and go travel, I'm going to lose my job. But if you were to save up the money,
mm-hmm.
and you were just like, you know what, I'm going to drive all 50 states.
Right.
You could do it.
Oh, yeah.
Do it easy. It's cheap enough. Gas is cheap. Gas is like $3. Friggin', and things aren't, like, food is cheap in the United States. Like, you can just do shit. You can do whatever you want.
Like, absolutely. I mean, Dave and Dave is saving up and planning to do the Appalachian Trail.
He's doing
the whole thing. Sometime next year. After that, you should definitely have him on the podcast. That'd be fantastic.
We have him on before.
Dude, absolutely. Because, I mean, he's out. He's trying to bang out all the 4,000 footers in New England, which is fucking badass.
That's awesome.
He's a mountain man, so...
He is a mountain man.
I love it, though.
Think his beard's big now. Wait till he comes back from the Appalachian Trail. Jesus Christ. And his hair.
Yeah.
He's going to come back, because that takes... Like, the whole Appalachian Trail takes, like, 8 months to do.
Between, like, six, seven months.
So he's going to come back. Disgusting.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. I wish I could do it. I wish you could put your bills on hold for 6 months, because, like, it is what it is, but... Yeah, man.
I'll definitely, that's something good. I think I will have him on, before and then after.
And then after.
Yeah, we'll go from there. But I think that's enough for today.
I agree.
It's definitely a good one. Joey, thanks for coming on. Absolutely. Talking about your deployment, talking about everything else. This will be a good one. I think people will enjoy it.
Later, y'all.
Till next time.